Welcome back to the Balance Podcast. My name is Chris, and right now I'm looking at my co-host, and I'm also looking at our guest host, Shane Harris. Now, they're both beautiful men, but for some reason, we just weren't able to complete a proper intro together. So, enjoy this conversation about Unhinged. Enjoy.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance.
Who will bring balance?
Perfectly balanced. This whole thing should
be between it all.
Damn it. Fuck this shit. Sorry. It's not your fault. It's not anyone's fault but my own or someone who stole my microphone. My other microphone.
Let's hunt that son of a bitch down. Let's skin him alive. Make burritos with his skin.
Let's terrorize them on the highway.
Ugh, that is disgusting, huh? Skin Jesus. Taquitos. Mosquitoes. I don't know why my mind went there.
What are we talking about? That's nasty.
That's nasty.
Skin pupusas.
You're a disgusting person. This must be why you made me watch Unhinged.
Yeah, man. It had that.
Whose decision was that, actually? Was it?
It was Micah's, for sure. Okay.
Well, I was perusing through Amazon, and I saw that pop up, and it was like a new movie with Russell Crowe, and I thought, how bad could that be, right? So I decided to watch it, man.
Yeah.
And you guys, when did you watch it?
I watched it like when it first came out. I'm not going to lie.
When did it come out?
Like, I don't even know. Like, well, sometime in November, right? Like on VOD.
It was definitely a while ago. I remember it coming out. I just also remember watching the trailer and thinking, I'm good.
Like, I remember watching the movie and thinking, I'm good.
But it is Russell Crowe, and I don't know. Like, he did great.
Yeah.
Like, he killed the role, but, like, why did he do it?
Yeah. That's a very good question. It seems like a movie that should have been reserved for someone like Gary Busey or something.
Dude, Gary Busey would have been brilliant in that role. Or that's, like, his reality.
Like, it should have been for somebody who was, like, kind of coming, who, like, has gone away for a long time and is coming back. Like for this role or something, or like thinks it's a comeback,
right? Yeah,
like I don't know, because Russell Crowe has been in some okay movies over the past couple, 5 years, right?
I don't know.
The only movie that really comes to mind is The Nice Guys.
Oh, I haven't seen.
Right? Have you guys?
I
seen
love
that?
That movie.
And I mean, that was like what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, you're right. So that was the last big one.
You would think like he's kind of like, oh, he'd made that movie. It was pretty well regarded, and like you would think he's like, oh, I'm gonna kind of get my career back on its feet and everything, and then he goes and does this,
dude, and then he just like spent all the money he made off of Nice Guys and bought food.
Hey, I was talking to my girlfriend about this. I was just like, you know, like there's some roles that actors will do, like Christian Bale's really well known for this, for like his dramatic weight loss for roles and then his weight gain, like just to really like get into the character. I don't think that's what this was.
No. There would be no reason for this character to be fat.
No.
No.
I don't want to bring this up already, but like I did do some research and apparently he was wearing a fat suit.
Was he really?
I put that with quotations around my. That's
I don't
what
think so.
They say he was wearing. If you look at some pictures, it kind of does look like he's wearing a fat suit. But here's the thing: like he was also in another movie recently where he played some sort of historical figure, and in that movie he was also wearing a fat suit. And clearly, he's gotten bigger. Like he clearly doesn't look healthy. So I think he's like thinking like he's getting all these scripts to play a fat guy. That's and then after he gets them, and he's like, I'll do it, so I'm going to wear a fat suit, right? And they're like, what? Fat suit? Yeah.
But
yes,
a
Russell
fat suit, like,
we'll
there, he's not
fat
wearing
suit.
He's not wearing, like, a fat face suit, though, right?
No. But I think he's, like, thinking, like, he's like, oh, so I'm playing a fat guy. I get to wear a fat suit. All right. And he's just like completely delusional.
You know, he's prepping to play Santa Claus. He wants to be on that list on our podcast.
I would welcome it.
This coming. Oh, yeah.
He'd kill that role.
Yeah, all right.
Fat Man
especially
two.
Now.
He needs first to kill his role so he can. I don't know if that was a fat suit, man.
It looks like, if I wish I could show you a picture. It kind of does look like a fat suit, but it's like, and when you see it, it's like, holy shit. Like in the movie, he looks actually kind of thinner than he does in some of the, like, you know, behind the scenes shots. But
he's still my gladiator.
He's still very, very, very. Dude, speaking of which, I watched Gladiator right before rewatching Unhinged because Micah told me about this podcast.
Oh, that's terrible. Because
it's basically a prequel.
Dude, it's so fucking. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how much 20 years can do, because it's just like, I don't know. There's something like, aside from just getting fat in the face and in general, like, he's just like, something's happened to that guy over the past 20 years. And like, because he looks like he's in his 20s in Gladiator. Like, he looks pretty young. Maybe I'm exaggerating a tiny bit, but like, he looks fairly young in that movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I think he's probably what, like in his mid 30s when he did Gladiator?
Yeah. I think that's it. And right now,
how
he's
old
like
is
55.
He now?
Oh, okay.
I think he's 55.
50s?
Yeah.
So.
I don't think he looks bad beyond the weight gain or anything. But it would be funny if, like, I'm going to look into it. It would be funny if he is wearing a fat suit, because I was just like, damn, he's a big boy. Even without the weight gain, like, I feel like the way they filmed this really emphasized how big of a man he is. Because he was, like, menacing. And, like, when he stood, like, he towered over people. And he, like, powered through any kind of injury he got. He just kind of, like, I don't know. He was like a supervillain in this movie.
Yeah, he was like Michael Myers. It's like
he really was. Yeah. That's what I'm going for. Really, for sure.
Right.
He was like a more realistic Mike Myers.
He like powered through everything, but also, okay. So I know the beginning of the film and the opening credits explained it with all those news clips and,
right,
talking about the lack of police and, you know, people going crazy, road rage. But even then, the lack of police in this film was astounding to me, like that this guy just didn't get caught for that long, was able to do all that.
For sure.
I was like, what?
Yeah, that was crazy. Like, he killed somebody in public. Like, he did that in a diner,
right?
And then as he was doing it, you hear some girl yell out in the background, "Somebody stop him."
I think my biggest disappointment for that scene though was, like, I think I had mentioned to you, Micah, I was excited because as I was renting it, I saw the name Jimmy Simpson on there. And I was like, oh, cool, Jimmy Simpson's in this? And I don't think you knew who he was at the time, but you looked him up and you couldn't tell me anything, right? And I was just like, oh, this is why they didn't realize he was in it.
Yeah. Right.
Because you hear his voice once and then you see him for like a 5-minute scene. And by the end of it, he's dead.
He's dead. Right.
I was bummed.
You know why? I think the budget of this film went to Russell Crowe. And then they're like, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we got 5 minutes for Jimmy. We got 5 minutes worth in the bank.
That's another thing I looked up. It was a $33 million budget, which is like.
Damn.
Seems pretty high for something like
it
this.
It does seem high, because I was actually thinking it seemed. Well, I mean, all those stunts with like the cars.
There were
and
a
stuff.
Lot of cars exploding and shit like that.
Yeah.
I think the weirdest part about this movie for me is I feel like a lot of it was very well done. It was just a shitty, stupid story.
Dude, okay. So I watched the film twice, okay? And the first time around, 100% felt the same. Like there was no driving force for me. Like, I didn't feel connected to any of the characters. And I also felt like, dude, why he's that mad, like, over a honk. I think that really upset me, like, how extreme he went over, like, her honking her horn. Like, and I get it, he's unhinged, he's clearly not mentally stable. But I still feel like there would have been, I would have felt better about it had maybe, even if she, like, cut him off and, like, almost caused an accident with him, you know, that would have been more believable or just easier to watch.
But I get you, but I think the lead up to it was the fact that first he wanted an apology. So I don't think it would have gone this way if she would have just complied with that. And we already
really
knew
true.
That
it's
he
fault,
was,
which is stupid.
Like,
it is her
we
fault.
Realized
that's
pretty
where
quickly,
I stand on it.
Pretty quickly, like early in the movie, like one of the first things you see is that he's killed his ex-wife and her lover or husband or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's already killed people. I think that's what surprised me most, because I assumed a lot about the movie. I did not assume he was going to kill as many people. I thought it was just going to be like a just kind of like a standoff between him and one character. I didn't realize he was going to be like going through her contacts and murdering people.
I thought he was just going to be like menacing her, like, you know,
right,
like just bothering her hardcore.
The first holy shit moment is kind of, to me anyway, was when he was at the gas station and he was like clearly stalking her, and she's like in there, she's afraid to go out, and that guy follows her out and he's like watching over and kind of staring Russell Crowe down.
Right.
And you think like he's just going to figure out a way to keep following her or whatever. And like he fucking runs over the guy right there at the gas station. And I would, that's kind of one of those moments where you're like, okay, how is nobody like actively after this dude like right away, like right now?
Right. Well, I had like a weird, like, there's some movies I'll go through the whole thing and I'm like, I don't care about any of these people, but the way they treated that scene, I thought was really good. Cause I cared about that guy. I was mad. Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
He was a good dude. He was just trying to do the right thing, you know? But it was just, I thought it was a really cool scene, but it was funny because it really felt, I mean, it was so, it got played for such a joke. I think what, they referred to, what's it, the gas station attendant said, oh, he's road raging?
Yeah, yes.
Like, it was like a moment in the movie.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, like,
he's road raging. Like, she understood immediately. And I'm like, really? Yeah? That's a thing around here?
It was
road raging?
There were, like, some times where I felt like the movie was, like, trying to preach to me in some weird way. Like, don't text and drive. Don't road rage. Don't honk. You know?
Yeah, that is like they put in that little thing in the intro, like, you know, more people than ever are looking down at their phones while driving their cars. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with what happened to Russell Crowe and the lady?
And it doesn't play a role. Yeah,
well,
right.
It does, because there's that one lady who's like, they show one girl who's like driving on the freeway while Russell Crowe's getting like driving like a maniac, and she's like looking at her phone, and then she blows up.
Oh, remember you're that? Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, it's like, why? Like, they say, it almost seems like the guy who wrote it was pissed off at like the world or something. And I looked up who wrote it. This is a guy named Carl Ellsworth who wrote, he wrote Disturbia and Red Eye, which are like two movies that I think are actually pretty good.
Those are really good movies.
And then he wrote three episodes of Animorphs.
I think he wrote The Last House on the Left, too.
Oh, really?
Last House on the Left and Red Dawn as well. So it's like he's gotten some pretty like decent things. It seems like he had a pretty good head on his shoulders for like...
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say good head on his shoulders.
I don't know what I mean by that, but I mean like his movies seem to all four of those movies seem to, and I'm sure the three episodes of Animorphs seem to like show off that he knows like who the bad guy is in the role, and like who, there's clearly an antagonist and a protagonist, where it's like the antagonist in this movie was like traffic to a degree.
I feel like this whole thing is like some sort of sick fantasy of somebody stuck in traffic. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, like, who hasn't had the thought here and there? If somebody cuts you off, you're just like, if I just kind of like pull to the right just a bit, run them off the road. But you don't do it. I think that's like a Bill Burr joke. He talks about that. But like, it is a thought that like crosses your mind if somebody like, you know, like almost pushes you off the freeway or something just for a second. You're just like, man. If only. But like this fantasy just carries through. It's just like, oh yeah, you're gonna be rude to me, I'm gonna kill your whole family.
Right.
like Jesus,
it was so maniacal and like graphic, like it kind of uncomfortable. It was like hard to watch. It was like a horror film in daytime, you know?
Yeah,
like if he just had a mask on, like you'd be like, yeah, let's watch this on Halloween. In fact, I still might watch this on Halloween. It just got added to the list.
Well, I own it on Blu-ray now, so maybe I'll make it an annual event.
Attaboy, attaboy. What did you think of the acting in the film?
I thought it was all pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't dislike any of the... I mean, I didn't think that was particularly what was wrong with the movie at all.
No. Yeah. I don't think... I think story was, like, film's biggest
flaw. I agree.
Flaw.
I think I was kind of, like, pleasantly surprised because I was like, most aspects of this movie are pretty great.
Yeah.
Like the acting, the dialogue ain't bad. It's only, I appreciate that it was only 90 minutes. I think that makes it a little bit more palatable. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That you're not having to sit in that tension for 2.5 hours.
Ugh. How uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable for those 90 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. So there were aspects to it that was like, it was somewhat comfortable to watch, even though it was so God awful, the things that were happening. I had like a thought like towards the end where I was just like thinking about what was it, the main character's brother who gets set on fire.
Yeah,
that like you should have let your nephew watch a little more of that. I'm like, bud, sorry. Because like early on in the movie he shuts off the news story that would have clued him into what was going on. So if he would have watched more of that news story, he probably would have known what that truck was.
Oh, right. Well, that guy, that brother is a doucher.
Why do you say that?
Were we not talking about the brother?
No, we are. What about, you say he's a doucher?
Yeah, yeah. Well, why do you say he's a doucher? Because he's not paying rent?
Yeah, I mean, just like the scene that introduces him is just like, he's just kind of annoying, you know? Kind of seems like a slacker, and he's lecturing his sister on like fiscal responsibility. And she's like, bro, like you're living here rent free. You don't work either, you know? Yeah. So
he makes that awesome joke about the candy cane scissors.
Oh, he does.
What does he say?
She's like, what are my candy cane scissors? He's like, why would you need to cut candy canes?
Oh, yeah.
And then he looks into the screen.
What's funny is like in my head when I watched it, I was like, I want to talk about that. And then I was like, no, don't do that. Nobody's going to be interested in you liking the candy cane cutting joke. But Shane, dude, I did it for me and I love you for it.
Those candy cane scissors were like a consistent player in this film. They came full circle.
Oh yeah, that's right. They did come back.
They really did. It was like this was like, it almost like there's aspects of this movie that felt like it's like a school project or something. Like they're just doing classic examples of certain movie tropes. So like this one's like Chekhov's gun, which is where like they're showing these scissors and you're just like, it's so blatant and such a big deal in the moment that clearly you know they're going to be used later.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
And they do. Oh my god!
And it's so like, at first I was like, candy cane scissors. Like, what does she need these for? But then you find out she's a hairdresser, right? But I was like, why does she need those scissors so bad?
Right.
And it was.
It kind of did come out of nowhere.
Kind of gross that they're just using them around the house. She was about to go cut. What's her name? Deborah. She's about to go cut Deborah's hairs with those coupon cutting scissors, man.
Deborah, you remembered that?
I think. Isn't that the client's name?
I have no idea.
Yeah, Deborah, played by... No. You know what would suck? Or like what just struck me? And I don't know if it's true, but in school, if the parent is consistently late and just a fuck-up, I'm not calling her a fuck-up, but in general, if they're consistently late, does the kid get punished? Like, he gets detention and shit? That's so awful.
That's what happens, right?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, they're not going to give the mama detention.
The mama. Yeah.
Did you guys get detention when you got, like, tardy in school?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So the trick is that you get enough detentions to get suspended, right? So you get enough detentions from being late from school that they tell you you can't come back for a week. Which seems like a weird punishment.
Yeah.
Do you think they did a good job of, I'm going to come back to it, but explaining the lack of police presence? Like, they really tried to, like, explain it in that opening credit.
Well,
but
she doesn't even call the cops until, like, an hour into the movie,
doesn't she? That
bothered
me, too. Yeah, it took a while for her to...
You would think somebody else would have fucking done it, though.
But how is there not a cop that they come across when he's ramming her? They're at like a red light,
right?
And he's like,
I had that
her.
Thought. If I was anywhere near them, I would have been calling the cops in my car.
Yeah.
Dude, like, that's extreme.
Just to jump ahead a little bit, when they're in the car and he's like right next to him, or he's like following him, and she calls the cops and says, hey, that guy that's on the news that's murdering people, he's following me. He's right behind me on this freeway. Like, sorry, ma'am. All our officers are attending a car accident right now. Like, that wouldn't happen. Like, if you have the location of a murderer, they're not going to be like, you don't need cops at a fucking accident scene more than you do an ambulance. Not when there's a murderer on the loose. Come on, man.
Right. I don't mean to be nitpicky, because you're probably talking about a subject that's a little bit more relevant, but there's a moment in the film where, like, he's just kind of displaying his dominance and, like, what he can do to her, where he, like, threatens to transfer, and maybe does transfer, like, all the money in her savings account to her ex. And I was just like, I work for a financial institution, and that is not the way banking apps work. He would not just be able to get into her goddamn account and just transfer all that money.
You need to put a passcode in or something. Stole the phone. Yeah, 100%. No. Yeah, I know.
He wouldn't have been able to do that.
Right. I thought that too. You're not too nitpicky, because I was like, how?
It's
like,
a very elaborate thing to do.
I started thinking about the apps. I'm like, no, Chase wouldn't let him do that. And then I was like, Venmo? Maybe he was using Venmo. They don't require a password.
That's true. Venmo is got to be one of the least secure money applications out there.
Right. I know a couple people who have sent the wrong amount or the wrong person the money. And they actually like returned it. They were like, sorry, like, which was like very noble of them.
That's nice, because there's a lot of instances where, like, if they wanted to keep it, there's really no legal way to get it back.
There's not, no.
It's like an electronic version of handing somebody cash, going home, and then deciding you didn't want to give it to them and calling the cops.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. You know, the whole time of this movie, I kept thinking, like, if this chick had a gun, this would be over. You know what I mean?
Well, she had candy cane scissors. What more do you need?
Like, this shit. Oh,
and she used them very nicely.
Yeah. No, but I do know what you mean. There's a lot of precautions. Well, not precautions she could have taken. I guess, I don't know. She does have that kid. I don't know how old that kid is.
Yeah.
But there's that. Just like, there is a scene where she says she's going to drive to the police station and then she doesn't.
Well, something happens though, right? Like,
yeah, he like calls her. Oh, because he like calls her. No. Wait, she calls the cops on him. That's when she calls the cops, I think. And they show up at her house, and they set the brother on fire, or he sets the brother on fire. And is that at the same time? And then she like pulls over. She starts hyperventilating, and she pulls over on the side of like some under some bridge.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, this could all be over if you just apologize. And she's like, I will never apologize to you. And she throws her phone and breaks it.
Yeah.
I guess at a certain point, enough is enough. I mean, he clearly was just going to do what he wanted to anyways. She already tried doing a bullshit apology.
I'm just going to bring it back, but the first murder that you see of, like, the people that Rachel knows out of Rachel's circle, the lawyer that we were talking about, I thought it was so bizarre how he was just, like, nonchalantly like, oh, I'm Rachel's friend. She sent me here to tell you. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Just starts talking to him about the divorce.
I'm sitting down here with your friend.
Yeah, he's just shooting the shit with this guy, talking about personal stories of Rachel, or just, you know, it's like weird. Yeah. Like, why? You don't think anything's up, dude?
Right. I think you're pointing out something that I find really weird about the movie, which is that, like, there are elements like that that are incredibly stupid that you would expect in, like, a B or C, like, just terrible whatever movie. But then there's aspects of the film that are done very nicely. Like, most of the actors are good. Most of the dialogue is good. Like, the story is somewhat interesting, if not like fully fleshed out. But then there's stuff like that that just gets thrown in that's just like, yeah, it is what it is.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
The movie's like a jumbled mess, so it's hard for me to really actually pinpoint like what things happen where at in the movie.
Yeah, I get you.
Like, it's not like a real narrative story. It's just a guy kind of doing A, B, and C like shitty things all over the place.
It's just a guy having a bad day trying to teach a woman what a bad day really is. That's what the movie is.
What a bad day really is.
This fool, Russell Crowe, his character, chewing on pain pills, has got to be like a real... I don't want to say manly as in admirable, but like, who the fuck? That's disgusting. Like, that's got to taste so bad.
Yeah, chewing on the pills.
Well, like, he's just like, dude, I need it to hit me quick. And he just chews on those things like candy, man.
That's funny. I didn't focus in on that at all, but you're totally right.
Ugh, grody, man. Like, you got to be in a weird mindset.
Yeah, that's the same kind of guy that would, like, super glue a wound shut.
Yeah. For sure. Dude, at the end when Rachel and her son confront or are at the grandma's house and there's like that final confrontation, when Russell Crowe's like struggling and like tossing them around and like clotheslines the kid. You remember when he clotheslines the son?
Yeah.
But this fool sounded like Ganondorf from Super Smash. He was like,
Russell Crowe, is that who you're
talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, he was like relentless. Like, that, it looked so brutal the way he was with them. Like, he was just like, I don't know. That must have been a weird role for him to take.
He played it really well. I mean, with that accent and just.
Oh, he committed.
Yeah, man. I'm starting to think like maybe he's a little like that. Like home. It was
Well, he is like that, isn't he, in real life, kind of?
Is he?
I don't know. Well, he has that whole, like, reputation for, like, beating people up and stuff like that. Although it's kind of an old school Russell Crowe
thing. Oh, that's right.
Like, he threw
right.
a phone at his mom.
Did,
you don't remember that story?
No, I totally
forgot. Like, is this... Didn't South Park make a joke about this where Russell Crowe grows around, he gets a TV show going around the world beating people up?
Yeah, he's like, welcome to my show. And he's like beating people up. Welcome to
Star. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
And he's, yeah, he rides on a boat. But that came from something, because it's like, I guess he, like, something like he threw a phone at his mom and he's just like, for a short-lived time, he had like a reputation for, you know... Like, yeah, getting unhinged, I guess, being unhinged.
That's really
funny.
Which
is why I was telling Micah, like, this was like, to me, it was a little bit like seeing Mel Gibson in a movie called The Racist. Like, so I had like a little bit of like a...
He did like a parody movie of himself?
Surreal feeling. Yeah. It did kind of feel a little bit surreal. It almost felt like he got the script and was just like, yeah, this is exactly how I feel when somebody cuts me off. Or whatever, honks at me on the freeway.
Oh, God.
He's like,
it's your...
He felt
so
really...
He looked at that script. He looked at that script and he thought, oh, finally.
Yeah.
or more like he talked to the guy who wrote it. He's just like, you know, this is exactly what I did when that happened to me.
He's like, the courtesy tap is so important. I'm in.
Yeah.
It is pretty important, though. You got to give that little toot. You know, just let him know
the courtesy tap.
When he was describing the courtesy tap, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. It's friendly, gets the point across. You know, I was like, yeah,
it does. So. I don't disagree. I think that was kind of like one of the funny things about it is like, yeah, he was kind of rude because it happens. Everybody does it here and there, right? But she's also a mom, like overwhelmed and trying to get her kid to school. And you are, I don't know. Do you guys think this way too? If I'm at a light, I'm paying way more attention if I'm the first at that light than if I'm a couple of cars back.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's not my responsibility. I'm just like, I want to make sure that when the car in front of me moves, I move.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
But I'm not watching the light. So like, but if I'm the first in front and there's five cars behind me, I'm paying attention to the light. So
it's a civic duty, man. And it's a judgment of character. It's like putting your shopping cart back. When you're done with it at the market, it's like that same kind of social rule.
You know what? I don't want to hear it. Don't judge me.
I'm not judging you. I'm on your side.
You know, I don't want to go into this tangent, but I'm going to.
Do you not put shopping carts back?
My Skater Brothers does not have a good enough radius for where their carts are allowed to go. So every once in a while, the wheels lock when I'm parked too far outside of the parking lot.
That's really annoying.
It is really annoying.
Wait, are you in their parking lot still?
Yeah. It's a weird absurd parking lot, though.
Get it together, Stater Brothers.
Get it together. Anyways.
You know what I was thinking when she stabs him in the eye at the end with those candy cane scissors? Well, first of all, I thought the first time they went in, I thought they went deep enough to kill him, but I guess they didn't. But it was reminiscent of that scene in Game of Thrones when the Hound confronts his brother, the Mountain, like stabs him in the eye, and he's like, "Not dead yet, bitch," you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this guy.
Like, cause he's got super mad.
Terrifying image.
Yeah, he like just sits Russell up, Crow. Growls.
Ah, and for sure. Thing stuck and out of his eye.
And it was just so she could make that comment, right?
Yeah. Here's your fucking courtesy tap. Yeah. And
it was brutal.
Welcome to the Butterball Hotline, bitch. That's what I wish you would have said.
There were a lot of moments in this film that like really like highlighted like the one we were talking about before, where the cashier at the gas station says, "Oh, he's road raging," you know, like there's like real obvious moments when the kid like takes his mom's phone and he's like, "Oh, you don't have a passcode on it? That's not safe." You know, it's like, okay, that's gonna play a role later, I guess. Not for so sure. Subtle foreshadowing.
But he does, you know, heed a lot of warnings throughout the whole movie. He's like the kid who has like the heads up on everything.
Yeah.
And yet he doesn't get his Butterfinger Blizzard.
He doesn't get his Butterfinger Blizzard.
You know what would have really elevated this movie?
Huh.
Nicolas Cage instead of Russell Crowe.
Then it would have, like, anything that we don't like about it would be, like, kind of washed away.
It would.
It'd be like, but it's a Nick Cage
great
movie.
Film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Done and done. Yeah, because Russell Crowe
is
so
respectable. Because if the movie
so sucks respectable.
And Nicolas Cage is starring... doesn't suck anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just fun.
That's
just kind of fun.
Weird that you mentioned that, because I just watched that movie Primal. Have you seen it?
No.
Where he's like fighting a bunch of fucking like, he's like a big game hunter and he's like an asshole in the movie, but then he gets faced in a situation where he's like basically like surrounded by wildlife, like monsters.
God, that sounds great. I don't think I've seen it. No, I want
to. The CGI is really, really like old school. Like, you know, it's, I mean, what do I want to say? Outdated, but like, it's pretty good because yeah, it's Nicolas Cage in the role. But I don't know. So I do see what you're saying.
There was a Nick Cage movie that I saw on Redbox called just Jiu-Jitsu. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
Bro.
Yeah.
But I already want to see that one now.
Yeah.
Listen to this description. Every 6 years, an ancient order of expert jiu-jitsu fighters faces a vicious race of alien invaders in a battle for Earth. When celebrated war hero Jake Barnes is defeated by Brax, the indomitable leader of the space invaders, the future of humanity hangs in the balance. I just did that for the balance.
The balance.
So this movie is about like kung fu aliens, or I mean fighting aliens with kung fu jiu-jitsu.
So
man.
Is it like it's of like course. Nicolas Cage's version of The Last Samurai?
That's exactly what it is. Oh man,
perfect. I'm so down.
I'm in. Maybe we'll do that one next.
Hey, if everybody doesn't know, Hulu has a watch party going on now. So if y'all are interested, we can watch a movie together.
Oh, that would be fun.
Oh, shit.
That would be really cool.
What's on Hulu? I mean, you know, I guess we can discuss that at another time.
We can discuss that another time. I am just curious.
Do it. Do it.
Did you both hate the movie?
I didn't. It's hard for me to say I hated it, honestly, but I mean, yeah, no, yeah, I don't know.
So my first round of watching it, I scored it a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
My second time watching it, I think my second time watching it, it was less jarring, you know, because it's just like I already got past the kind of like stupid plot or like just I don't know. There's some aspects of the story that bother me. So I already got past it. I already know it. So it wasn't surprising to me. And it boosted it a little bit to like probably like a 5 out of 10.
Interesting. OK. Can you give it a number, Shane?
I was going to give it a 5 out of 10, too. Like, literally, I thought about that before we started the podcast. Jeez. But the reason being is because it was not a good movie. Don't get me wrong.
No.
Like, I couldn't recommend it in all good conscience to anybody.
I wouldn't.
But I didn't. But there's a lot of movies I watch and I just get bored. And this movie, I wasn't bored. So like, I could at least say that about it. And it probably is heavily due to Russell Crowe being in the lead role.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably would have been better with Nick Cage, but. Like, it was almost just baffling to watch Russell Crowe in that role. Like,
well, because he commits and he's too good for the role. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, and he nails the accent. He nails the fat suit. No, I don't know. Yeah. I'm still, even though I literally read, if you look it up, you'll probably read it somewhere too, like Russell Crowe in a fat suit. But I still don't 100% believe that it was a fat suit. Like, but it's just... Because he just seems so perfect for the role for some reason.
We're gonna do our due diligence and find out if that was a fat suit or not, and we're gonna post it on social media so y'all can know.
Hey, conspiracy theory people,
we're not fat shaming, or I'm not anyway.
We're not fat shaming because
otherwise you'd be shaming me
fat this year. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. We'd be shaming all of us this year.
Yes, Shane's the skinniest one out of us now.
No, I'm not. Man. Not anymore, baby. No, I don't know,
baby.
But
What if Russell Crowe got a fat suit, but like a small one, just so he can say that he wore one?
Right. So he's like technically not lying.
He just added like 10 or 20 pounds.
Exactly. That's what I think was going on.
What would you rate it, Chris? What's your rating?
I rated it a 5, guys.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, shit.
Damn, for a...
Yeah, I didn't hate it. Like, it's terrible, but... There's aspects to it that are really great. Like, Russell Crowe's a great actor, so he's fun to watch. I don't think anybody did bad. All the actors were pretty... Like, I feel like everybody in the movie were too good for this movie.
Yeah, I get you.
And that's why I give it a 5, because I think everybody did great, and it was not the worst to watch.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I watched it twice, and I didn't hate it. Like, the second time, I mean, it's one of those movies that's, like, sort of fast-paced that just kind of keeps your attention, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I would rather watch this again before I watch Tenet again, and it's not because I thought Tenet was bad,
my God.
But it's just a mind fuck, and it's just like, I'm tired. Just put on this stupid, mindless violence, please. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to watch Tenet again soon. You haven't?
Nope.
All right.
So I never will. No, I'm just kidding. I intend to watch it. Was it? I mean, I don't know. Was it good? I mean, Micah apparently doesn't like it.
No, I did like it. It's just listen to our podcast, and yeah, you won't please be any less confused.
Because should I see it before I listen to the podcast?
Yeah,
100%.
Okay.
If you have not listened to our episode on Tenet, you should definitely watch the film first.
Maybe do some research into physics. Just a little.
Maybe it doesn't matter. Just listen to it.
Okay.
If you don't care about spoilers, just listen, because it's not going to make things make any more sense.
All right. I mean,
I think we got it all wrong.
That was kind of, I mean, maybe that was the thing about this movie. It was just a very simplistic story. It was easy to follow, I guess, even though it was a jumbled mess.
It was a jumbled mess, but it was still effective, and it respected my time, goddammit.
True that. You're right about that.
Yeah.
90 minutes is a good runtime. You know what I mean?
It is.
It feels good.
Yeah.
It does.
I'm glad they didn't
it's doable.
Add in some extra. They could have added in like a whole backstory with Russell Crowe, like flashbacks of his life with his ex-wife and all that stuff. And I'm glad they
probably
didn't
would have been helpful,
to
be honest with you. But I'm still glad I didn't have to watch that.
Yeah.
100.
I'm with you. Like, I think that would have made the movie a better movie. Getting that backstory, that character
for sure.
Development.
But you don't want it.
But I don't want it. It's too much.
It would have been like 5% a better movie, something like
right.
that.
Oh, I will say, like, one of the last scenes of the like almost the I think it might be the last scene of the film, when somebody almost T-bones her, and our main character with her son in the back, and she kind of slams on her brakes, and she hovers her hand over the steering wheel to honk, and she doesn't, and her son says, good choice. And I was just like all right, like
right,
this is one of those moments where I'm just like, this movie sucks. You're trying to like make a point here, but it's a stupid point.
It's a very stupid point. 100%.
Yeah, it's like horn shouldn't exist is the moral of the story.
The moral of the story, that was what I got. It was play Fortnite, Don't text and drive.
Make sure you have a great Fortnite strategy.
Yeah.
Or number one above all, trust no one.
Trust no one.
Trust
the,
no one.
The cover of this film says he can happen to anyone.
Oh my God.
Is that Does it really? What it
says? Yeah.
He not, can happen to
yeah,
anyone.
Not
Jesus
it can.
Christ.
He can.
Oh my God. That's perfect. I'm glad you noticed that, because that's fucking hilarious.
Dude, they ought to get just like a body shot with that same caption, or just say it can happen to anyone and be like a diet weight loss promotion. It can happen to anyone. It's happening to me, guys.
Poor Russell.
All right, so we got 3 fives for an averaged balanced score of 5 out of 10. Hope you enjoyed
for a movie
the show.
That sucks.
You know what? I will say this. I haven't seen Russell Crowe do anything in a while. So at the very least, it made me want more Russell Crowe. He's a good actor.
Hey, speaking of Russell Crowe, I know we were about to cut this off, but did you know what the proposed script was and story for the sequel to Gladiator?
God. I don't think we have enough time for this. It was ridiculous, wasn't it?
It's pretty quick. It's pretty quick. So, you know the story in the Bible, right? That are you familiar with the Bible and like Jesus and the crucifixion? Well, one of the guards or one of the soldiers stabs Jesus in the side while he's on the cross to make sure he's dead, right? So the story of Gladiator 2 would be that Maximus was in the afterlife and then Jesus was on the earth and starting to gain a following. So as more people believed in Jesus, the gods, like those ancient Roman gods, started losing their power. So they send Maximus back in time to kill Jesus. And he ends up being
back
that
in time.
Or no, I'm sorry, back to earth. They send him like back to earth to kill Jesus. And he ends up being that soldier that stabs Jesus in the side. And I'll watch that in the shape he's in now. I don't care.
No.
I want
it.
I want
it. That sounds pretty awful, honestly.
You're accidentally making Maximus the bad guy.
I want it.
That is a really weird
So bizarre.
Like,
Maximus is the original Avenger.
That was really a thing.
You know?
It is. Look that shit up, I promise.
It's terrible.
Oh, wow. You know he turned down a role in Lord of the Rings?
Who was he going to play?
Boromir. I'm imagine he probably just one of the regular dudes.
He was going to be an orc extra.
Yeah, he would have made a great pissed off orc.
For sure. I mean, it really sounds like collectively our review is Russell Crowe is awesome. This movie sucks.
Yeah,
that's pretty much
it was watchable.
Yeah, it was watchable.
I watched it twice.
But
and
I watched
it better
one and
the
a
second
half
time.
Times.
Dude, maybe the third time around, it'll be my favorite movie. I'll give it a go.
Anyways, if you watched it, let us know what you thought of Unhinged. You probably didn't, but if you did, let us know.
Let us know, and thank you, Shane, for being on with us. It's been fun.
Ah, thanks for having me.
We'll do a good movie next time.
It's not necessary.
Yeah, we're going to do that Nicolas Cage one.
All
right. Oh, perfect. Shane, are you committing right now? We're going to watch this movie, Jiu-Jitsu.
Jiu-Jitsu.
Let's do it. Jiu-Jitsu.
All right.
I'm in.
Let's Nicholas Rage.
I'm all in.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.